Galatians and Ephesians. We're going to be all over in there. Right? Usually read the passage of scripture before I stand up here, but then I enjoyed the music. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Good stuff, Sam. Good to have you back. Hope you enjoyed yourself. I'm sure we'll hear a testimony. Good. Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll also read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, both of these are in context with that phrase we picked up last week. I know some people may like just a one and done sermon, like a meal at a restaurant or something, but we're gonna do things a little different with this one. We're going to study this a little bit more in depth. I don't know if we truly are students of the Word of God. We need to be students of the Word of God. There's many deceivers among us. And as Christians, we have a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. So I said all that until you get to your place. Ephesians, we're jumping right in the middle of it. But Ephesians, and each book is almost broke down like this. You'll see the beginning of the book is usually a doctrinal dissertation about a thing they were struggling with. And then later in the book, and it varies from each one, each epistle, then it drifts into the responsibility or how to overcome that difficulty. And can I say this? Every church has them. We see that in our study in Revelation. Each one of those churches had a difficulty, had a struggle, and God used his man to speak to that church for that situation to help them. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul hones right in and he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Sam's coming to the piano. Anybody remember Bob Newhart? And he was a counselor. There's a clip that travels around of a lady that comes into his office, and he's going to give her advice. And the advice was, he sits there, and you know, I know the younger generation doesn't know Bob Newhart. You missed out. You really missed out. I'm glad I had some of the things. TV was my parents when I was a young person, and I'm glad TV wasn't like it is today. TV is still parents. Problem is the parents, the TV, has gotten a little worse. Amen. I grew up on the Walnuts and the Little House on the Prairie. Walnuts. And if you'll notice, there was a lesson being taught there too. I'll get back to Bob. John Sr. never went to church. Watch all 9 seasons and then the special holiday episodes. And you'll find that John only went to services on the holidays. And you follow them through their lives, and all of them get married and move on and grow up. And guess what they did? They never went to church. So what they were teaching us back then is the effects of what takes place. And the same thing happened in, what's the new one on Netflix now? Teen K-pop or whatever. What is it? K-pop demon hunters, and we just wonder why our children are walking the streets of our cities as demons. And so, but anyways, back to Bob. Bob was a counselor, and he counseled people, and a lady came into his office one day and began to express to him and expound on all the little problems she had in her life. And in a nutshell, she just looked at him and said, "Well, what's your advice?" He said, "Stop it." And then she'd go on, and she was looking for more and more, and but what about this, and what about that? And I think by the time the clip was over with, he's standing up, standing on his desk or something, screaming the top of his lungs, "Stop it." Can I say this to all of us here today? You are in control of your life. And the better off you are yielding that life to the Spirit of God, the better individual you are going to be. So if you come to my office or come to somebody or go to a counselor and you're looking for some pleasant words to hear about life, here's what they are as a Christian. Non-believers do not have this power. They do not have the capability because they are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. But when we accept Jesus Christ, that's the blessing of being a believer in Christ. Assembling one another. We're encouraged by one another. We might share our stories of what our struggles is, and if we have close enough friends, they might look at us and say, "Stop it." Well, you don't understand. Stop it. And just let God take control. You know, we love the little Katie Underwood or whoever her name she was. Jesus, take the wheel. But you're always holding on to it. And then you're screaming at everybody, road rage. Why is this happening to me? Because it's the way you're driving, Michael. It's the way you're driving. You've taken the wheel. They have cars out there nowadays, don't they? Do you notice something? It's amazing to me how many things we have to help us. Recently, car problems have affected me and still do. Truck problems, and they give you rental cars. Do you know? I'm not in this world. Some of you probably are. Do you know they have a device on your car nowadays? I don't know how they do it, but if you get too close to one of those lines on the other side, the steering wheel auto-corrects. And some of y'all still can't stay between the lines. Do you know we have an auto-correct built inside? That as soon as you get too close to one edge or the other, I think the steering wheel vibrates. Who's got one of those fancy cars? Steering wheel. And I've driven behind you. I see how you drive. That thing's vibrating this way, and she's... Not her. That's how some of us live. We get that gentle nudge, that gentle autocorrect that God has given us because He knows we can't. He knoweth our frame, the psalmist said, that we are but what? He says, "Here, I'm going to help you with that." And you look at social media, and who's the ones that are barking the loudest most of the time? We ain't even got anywhere yet, at least by reading verses. "This I say then, Paul, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Yes, you can write in your Bible there, Pastor used Bob Newhart as an illustration. Stop it. Stop letting your flesh control everything going on in your life when you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Stop letting the flesh convince you, "I don't feel good today, I'm going to stay home. I stubbed my toe, God understands." No, He doesn't. He doesn't understand your fleshly desires. He realizes it, that's why He equips us with what He equips us with, so we won't have to surrender to the flesh. "For the flesh," watch this, "lusteth against the Spirit." That's a problem. "And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." It's natural for us to do the bad things. Wish we had more patience with each other sometimes. It's natural. What you consider natural and somebody else that doesn't struggle with that doesn't consider natural. If you get further along into Galatians 6, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." How are you able to accomplish that? By the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. They cannot coexist with each other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if he be let..." It's that auto-correct. I think there's even some out there you can take your hands off the steering wheel, aren't there? I've heard that. I've seen that. There's a preacher that I know that gives his little devotion. I love these people to do it. Gives his little devotion while he's coming to work in the morning, hands off the steering wheel, folded in his lap and stuff. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, "You know something? I'd much rather you not give the devotion while you're driving. Put your hands on the steering wheel and drive. Worry about the devotion when you get to your office and maybe take some time then. He says, but if ye be led by the, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I said something to somebody the other day or this morning or somewhere, I don't know. The Bible is a schoolmaster. It gives us a law that what we are commanded to do. But it is just to get us to a place. It's a schoolmaster. It's a, trying to think of that Afrikaans word, Teichmeister. It's a teacher master. Back in the day they used to send their children to what is the name of those places? It's like a boarding school or something. A hostel. And why? Now schools are hostel. They sent them to that place. Why? To assist the parents in teaching them, to bring them to a place where they could not. Listen, can I just say this? I don't need the law. I don't need the law because I have God. I don't need the law only steps in when you don't want to do what you are morally obligated to do. There's nobody sending me or garnishing my wages to pay for my children, to give my wife support. Nobody's doing that to me. You know why? Because the schoolmaster, the law has told me, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know what we get? We take that little rod, and that's a schoolmaster. You don't obey, this is what you're going to get. And then sooner or later, most of them usually realize, and the problem with most of them, they get that, but they don't get the other aspect of that. We say, as parents sometimes, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, and it does. And you think as a child that that's a foolish statement. If you really love your children, you will correct them. Then you get older and you realize, yeah, it isn't. I remember the first time I spanked Avalyn. You would have thought that hell showed up or something. She was in the office. Tina, weren't you the secretary then? And she was doing something. I literally just walked up to her and went, no. And she just absolute. That was tough. That was tough. She might have thought it was tough. She did. But the point of the matter is, this is a schoolmaster. It teaches you what you should do. And then all of a sudden you realize what he's done for you and you go, wow. I don't need to be told what to do. I love you. I appreciate what you offer me in this relationship. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here's the works of the flesh. Adultery. Fornication, here's a little side note, they're not the same. When you realize they're not the same, then you start understanding all the other things that I've said about a marital relationship. There's many a days I've said to myself, I'm in this for the long haul, even though I don't want to be. Is that okay to say that? I'm in it for the long haul because it is a commandment. And if God doesn't depart from me, I'm not going to depart. But what happens is the flesh takes over and says, you don't know what I'm married to. You don't know what she's done, but you've not read Hosea. You've not understand what God... Let's just talk about your relationship with God since you've been saved, Michael. And they're separate, but people give conditions. Well, you don't know, you don't understand. I did that before I was saved. That doesn't matter. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. That is having intimate relationships outside of marriage. And when you're saved, you're married to Christ. You're the bride of Christ. And that's why he was knocking at the door in Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, because they had become complacent, laying and sleeping with everything to satisfy their desires rather than realizing and opening the door of the relationship they could have with God. And how many people today as believers do that? Fornication is a relationship outside of marriage. Uncleanness. He's talking to church folks. He's not talking to lost folks. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. You say, idols? We don't worship idols. Oh. Witchcraft. I'll tell you, the biggest idol today is self, idol worship. And how do you see that manifested the most? In that electronic device that you hold around and hold on to like rosary beads. And dare somebody try and grab it out of your hands. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. That's all you see on social media, isn't it? Sadly, much of it is participated by Christian believers and such like. He says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's really trimming it close, isn't he? Now, do any of us in here do any of those things? Now you got to examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. If you can continue to do those things with no correction, no discipline, no change of course, then guess whose you are? Even Lot's righteous soul was vexed. And what's taking place in the average church nowadays ought not to be even named. He says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. There's no reason to have a law. Thou must be temperate. And there's a lot of churches that do that. They give all these requirements and regulations and everything. And I get it sometimes because we all want to be on the same sheet of music. But if you love God, you don't need a law. If I really love God, I'll obey all the ordinances of man, Brother Baldwin. If I lived in Chagrin Falls and I loved God, Brother Baldwin is not going to ever pull me over. He's not going to ever come to my house for a domestic dispute. He's not ever going to have to come and CPS or CBS or whoever the BBS and the acrostic is not going to have to come and take my children away from me. If I'm a loving God, there's no reason for that to take place. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. I don't have to command. You know why our society is the way it is? It's because we will not love God, therefore there has to, the society has to legislate morality. Because we won't be moral in and of ourselves and have a relationship with God. And we look around and we say, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with people is the church has failed them. The church has failed them in this aspect. We are not walking in the Spirit and we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And lost people look and go, if that's what Christianity is, I don't need it. I'll seek Buddha. I'll seek Black Lives Matter. I'll seek no kings. I'll seek the transgender world. I'll seek all this stuff that satisfies my flesh rather than walk in the Spirit. Verse 24, and they that are Christ crucified the flesh. That is a very brutal term to use. That means that person that is walking, that wants to walk in the Spirit has to take that flesh and nail it to a crucifixion. You back up earlier, and Paul had already expressed that. He had already explained that. He had already told them. He testified of his own life. I'm not telling you something I'm not trying to do. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God, you're everything. If you can do that for me, I can nail mine to the cross for you. Then he even follows it up, and he said, if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If I can achieve it by ticking boxes, and having this moral code and everything else in and of myself without the empowerment of God, then Christ died. What was the reason for Christ? If it's the golden rule and it's I've been a good person and God's going to weigh out the scales, the one side of the scale is going to have Christ on it. The other side of the scale is going to have you on it. How do you think that's going to balance out? Verse 25. Bob Newhart comes to mind again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Let me say this. I'm not your standard. He is. Should I as well follow that standard? Yes, Paul said this. Follow me as I follow Christ. What was he doing? He was given an imperative, but he was given a condition too. When I stop following Christ, you stop following me. Dad, wonder why so many young people aren't in church anymore, because they're not following Christ. And their children are following them to the ditch. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That is eating up our churches. I don't do that. Can you believe that person does that? Look at me, look at me, look at me. No. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. All we have. There should be so much. I say this all the time. It shouldn't just take a Sunday night with a pastor going, "Has anybody got a testimony?" It should just be birthed naturally out of, I just want to stand up. Thank God, this week was a difficult week for me, and I just want to thank that God deposited, he put an earnest of the inheritance. I will be perfect one day. But until that day comes, God has given me a deposit, knowing that I can strive for that, and he's given me an earnest of the inheritance. It's a down payment deposit that I'm his, and he is going to fully purchase me. And it's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul said to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengtheneth me. You said, I thought we were talking about the Spirit. These three are one. It's the triunity of God. It's the whole package. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave you with something that's going to be able to help you and maintain you in this wicked world. I send you as wolves or sheep among wolves. You're the light of the world, he said. You're the salt of the earth. You are, that we have this hope. What hope? God in earthen vessels. That God would humble himself to the point, not only die for my sins, but indwell me. And everywhere you go, and everything you do, and everything you say, and everything you see, guess what? You're taking God there with you, Michael. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now let's turn over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let me say this about the woman at the well. She didn't get the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God when she dropped her bucket and received the water of life. But she had enough love that demonstrated to her that day she'd walk down into the town and offer that same gift to those that despised her. And yet you and I have that in our hearts, and we say the things we do, and we do the things we do. It ought not to be said. But fornication, verse 3, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, but God forgave me. Yeah, but it just keeps being named and named and named and named and named and named over and over again. He said, but let it not once be named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Again, it is putting our salvation, or what we say we have, in a grinder, if you will. Let's purification, and what do they call those bowls that they put metals in and refine them with fire? Crucibles. Putting us in a crucible and saying to us, let no who hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God. It's putting our life in a crucible and letting it be heated by fire and judged, and what is going to come forth? Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. That's what you used to be. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And reproving doesn't mean you have to blatantly just throw your bony finger at them. Your life is a reproof for them. When you get into a situation that the lost man has no control over, but his flesh rises to the surface, that's not you. The lost man sees you control, administer love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, and so on and so forth. They see that and they say, how in the world does that do that? We see the young man that's the brother to the man that was killed by a police officer by, let me just say this, by accident. Can I just say that? I'm not retrying the case. What do we see? We see a manifestation of the Spirit because somebody else says, if that would have happened in my family, you can rotten. But here's what he does. No, that's not what the Spirit of God does. Because the Spirit of God washes the feet of the very person that will betray them. What thou doest, he says, do quickly. When he does betray him, he comes and meets him in the garden. And what does he say to him when he first sees him? Judas walks up to him, kisses him. He said, friend, betrayeth me with a kiss? Judas kissed the door of heaven and still went to hell. I know a lot of people that come through the door to heaven and still bust hell wide open. It's a tough message, isn't it? Walk as, and have no fellowship, verse 11, with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, how? Just like I just said, by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. That's what he's speaking to all of us. If we don't understand this concept, then guess what we are? We're asleep to it. And rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. I believe you already have to a certain extent. It's truth. And it's truth that the church of the living God needs to understand today. It's truth that each believer needs to understand today. We are a purchased person through your shed blood. We accepted your grace. We accepted your forgiveness. But yet, Lord, we've let you down on our responsibility. But teach us in this series. Teach us in this study. Teach me, Lord. I'm as much of struggling with walking in the Spirit as I am anything. The 27 years lost trained me. It taught me how to survive in the flesh. And now I have to surrender that flesh to you and let it be controlled. As Paul said, he died daily. So help us in this study, Lord, to understand what you're doing in our lives. We plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I do something in here? I don't think it's just conviction. I think it's temperature. Would anybody agree? Miss Paul is not here. I turned it down to 65. Whew. It's even hotter up on this platform. Maybe it's just the verses I'm reading. So last week we started, or should I say, I started a new study. I hope it isn't just me starting, but all of us prepare ourselves and study ourselves to look at an aspect of our walk that, can I say this, is much needed, and that is regarding the Holy Spirit. I think he is this characteristic of God. The Holy Spirit and His ministry is so, so lacking today that we have, I go back to this and it's such a poor comparison. I'll never forget the first time I drove one of those vehicles. And it's interesting because, and I almost feel like they're enabling people. What do you mean by that? That you can drive down the road and play with your phone. It almost seems to be enabling folks. It ought to, but here, can I suggest something to the three major motor companies or how many ever there are? Do something that when your phone gets in close proximity with the car, it either shuts the car off or it shuts your phone off. But the fact of the matter is, it's amazing that that is there, but it's there for us too. There's nobody in here today that says, I just can't. I can't. You can. And you can if you surrender to this concept, for lack of a better term, this indwelling presence that God can help me. He can transform me. That's what he understood we're but dust. Listen, Adam was not a living being until what? God breathed the breath of life into him. And he became a living, breathing individual. And the same thing happened when you received Jesus Christ. He breathed life into you, Michael. And he can let you, he can manifest himself in such a way that you look back and say, how? I remember, anyways. So I hope it's not just me starting a study, but all of us prepare ourselves and study ourselves to look at an aspect of our walk that is much needed, and that is regarding the Holy Spirit. More specifically, the fruit of the Spirit. I came across several quotes this week in honor of Brother Baldwin while studying. I need to find the places he gets his quotes because I can't find them. He's digging deeper than me. I don't know. He's in a part of Alaska where you just go and, I mean, he goes and mines for quotes and he comes back with these big giant nuggets. Man, I mine for him and I get these little specks and most of the time they're fool's gold. But I was mining for a quote in honor of Brother Baldwin and regarding the fruit of the Spirit. And I came up with this quote from a compilation of all those I read. I wanted to be an individual. And I want it to sink in regarding this very evil study. Let this sink in, please. A tree does not consume its own fruit, but rather presents and provides it for others to enjoy. The study on the fruit of the Spirit is not so you can have love, joy, and peace, and all those things. Let me explain. Truly, that is the profound truth of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the believer. It is not a fruit for yourselves to consume. It is not a fruit that produces others to love you more. It is not a fruit for you to have more joy in your life. We read that list of things and we say, love, somebody's going to love me better. Joy, I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have all those things. That fruit of the Spirit is not for you to consume. It's for others to consume in your tree. Watch this. Psalmist said this. The fruit of the righteous is a what? Tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Soul winning is not knocking on a door, shoving a tract in somebody's face, and saying you need to be saved. Soul winning is what? God saves people. We're in the business of what? The soul is the seat of the emotions. How do they eat from our tree? We love them. We provide peace in a situation. We provide joy to a situation. Can you know what's the most gut-wrenching punch in my stomach sometimes as a pastor? To know that we have that, to study that, to come to the pulpit, to hear the choir open up with a song. And be in a room full of believers that can't even muster enough love and joy. When a non-believer comes into a church service, they ought to go, wow, I know them folks. Man, I remember I went to high school with them folks. They fought like cats and dogs, man. Now they're sitting on a church pew together. What did Paul say to Onesimus? You need to go back. What did Paul say to Philemon? When he comes back, you need to receive him. Why? Because the church is going to see that act of kindness. Because you better know that there was times, Brother Mike, that Philemon was sitting around saying, boy, I tell you what, that dog Onesimus, you know how much money he took from me? They heard that. You've probably seen that from me sometimes. Walking in the flesh and barking about something that somebody did to me. Now all of a sudden Paul admonishes Onesimus to go back, Philemon, to the church at Colossae, and he walks in the door. Everybody gets to see how Philemon feels about Onesimus. And everybody gets to see how much spirit-filled Philemon is and how spirit-filled Onesimus is. Now go to the average church and let them decide on what color the carpet's going to be. It is not a fruit that produces others to love you more, for you to have more joy in your life. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore when present in your life, it presents, its presence aids others to see God and enjoy who He is. Yes, you will see God yourself if you're truly looking. Because you and I will realize we cannot manifest those things in our life solely by ourselves. If we try to, if I try and be loving, and it's a work of the flesh. If I try to be, I've said this to my wife probably many times. If I did not have the Spirit of God in my life, I would not be married today. You say, oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that. But because I have the Spirit of God in my life, I can be married today. Because God empowers me, and it should be the same way with her. Because watch this, two lost people, two fleshly people, two whatever people coming together, not walking in the Spirit. The psalmist or Proverbs said this, only by pride cometh contention. Go to the average courthouse and you know what's taking place? Pride. I want my way, I want my way. And they both fight instead of both having yielding and submitting to God's way. Hosea is a perfect example of that. And again, it is not a fruit that produces others to love you more or for you to have more joy in your life. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore, when present in your life, its presence aids others to see God and enjoy who He is. Yes, you will see God yourself if you're truly looking, because you and I will realize we cannot manifest those things in our life solely by ourselves. If we try, it will be a cheap copy, and we've seen that in many churches. As I have meditated on and studied this out in recent days, I realize and am very aware that it is much needed in my life. I'm not preaching to anybody in here but myself. And I hope as well you realize it's needed in your life. And if you look around, you'll soon conclude that it is very evident in the day we live that it is needed greatly in our society. So let's pick up where we left off in our introductory notes, move a little further so we can look at each of the nine fruit individually. I want to eventually get to those just like we looked at each gate. I want to get to each place where we look at each fruit individually and see through Scripture what is the fruit of the Spirit love. What does love look like? What is joy in the Holy Ghost look like? Is it me rolling around on a floor? Is it me participating in a holy laughter? Or is it me understanding the joy of the Lord is my strength? Can I come into a situation? Can I walk into a room where there is absolute chaos and bring peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. For what? They shall see God. You know why? Because I don't like peace. I like that verse in Scripture where God said, hey, I like this one better. For I came not to bring peace, but a sword. There's me. I like that. I'm ready for that. I got a sword. I got a couple other little things. Let's party. No, he said, you ought to be able to walk in. You ought to be able to, in the midst of a road rage situation, get in the middle of that and calm it down. Be a mediator. Mediate a situation in a family. Not be the main participant in causing the problem. And so let's pick up where we left off in our introductory notes. Move a little farther so we can look at each of the nine fruit individually. Let me say this. My desire for me and my prayer for others is that we all truly can better understand His presence. The fruit of the Spirit is about recognizing His presence. His production. Man, I can't believe this. My family despised me when I went and found my stepfather. Despise, how can you? And I said, how can I not? How can I not? If God did this for me, and man, I did some things to God. I said, if God did this for me, how can I not do that for Him? How can I not give Him that opportunity? And on his deathbed, I'm whispering in his ear, I love you, I forgive you. That is not me. But I can only speak. I wish there was more of those moments. I wish there was just a plethora of those moments in my life. I wish I just carried around all those moments. But sadly enough, as I study this out, there's more of the other ones than those. And then I sit here and I say, oh me, God, are you working in my life? And so, I hope we can all truly get to a better understanding of His presence, His production, and His purpose in our lives for having each of these. You will encounter somebody on your day-to-day endeavors. The steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And there's somebody that needs God's love that you're going to encounter. And if you don't have that in there, you'll manifest a fake copy of it. And it won't do what it's sent forth to do. Joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, so on and so forth. Your long-suffering sometimes, Michael, can be the very catalyst for somebody. And it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. And by being good and loving and caring and long-suffering, it might be the very catalyst, Brother Baldwin, that breaks that person. And they finally come to God. And God can say, thank you, thou good and faithful servant. And so His presence, production, and purpose in our lives, I hope we can better understand it. Last time we were here, we looked so far at the passages regarding it. That's the first aspect in our introductory notes. I used two different passages, the one in Galatians and the one in Ephesians. And we will continue to look at those passages throughout our study and others within the context of it. And then we looked at the people last time we were together. We looked at the people regarding it. Real quick summary of that. The people regarding it was carnal, saved, spiritual, and spouses. I should have added this one, siblings. Siblings, children. Siblings is the parental relationship of the child to the parents and to each other. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're supposed to do that as children. I'm supposed to honor my mother and father. I'm not prophesying my life. I don't think I'll live to the ripe old age of whatever. Because regardless of whether I was saved or not, it was still a law on the books. Honor thy mother and father that it may what? Go well with thee or something? And it speaks of your years? I didn't do that. Probably caused my mom a lot of headaches and gray hairs because of my life. And how many children do that today? You say my parents aren't good parents. That doesn't dissolve you or unobligate you, whatever the word is, from your responsibility to God to honor your mother and father. I tried to do that once I understood that. Carnal, saved, spiritual, spouses, siblings. So we looked at the people regarding it. The teaching, let me say this, the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit is limited to each believer who is saved. It is not for the lost man. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for their foolishness unto him. It's foolish. I'm going to take care of me. You think I'm going to put up with that? You think, and then they speak of this, karma. Karma, there's a karma coming for you too, buddy. There's a karma coming for you. There's what goes around comes around. It's coming around. You'd be better to repent of that theology and come to God and fall at His feet and say, I'm guilty. Help me to bring that revelation to other people. And so we looked at the people regarding it. Teaching the fruit of the Spirit is limited to each believer who is saved. It is not for the lost man. They can experience it, the fruit of the Spirit, but it is only there for the believer. Scripture never extends the blessings of salvation to the lost. You say, what? Scripture never extends the blessings of salvation to the lost. The only thing Scripture extends to the lost is forgiveness. Come. Come for what? Come for forgiveness. Why do I need forgiveness? Because you have a debt that you cannot pay. And I paid it. When you come and you become a... Listen, when I die, ain't none of y'all getting none of it. None of it. You know who's getting it? My children. My family. Those that are part of it. The blessings are a result of the relationship. The relationship begins at forgiveness. Then when you get there, you come into the book of Ephesians and you go, man, I had all this. I mean, we ought to back up and just read the first chapter of Ephesians. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And you sit there and you go, you mean to tell me I've been living for 27 years on cheese and crackers sardines and smoked oysters, when I could have this? I need to come. What was it that brought the prodigal back, Brother Mike? When he came to himself, he said, look at all the things that I had at Dad's house. You know why? We say some prodigals ain't never going to come back. You know why? Because they never saw what was at the Father's house. They came to the Father's house, but they never experienced being a son. He came, it was the Father, and he was the Son, and that relationship didn't change. He came back and he said, this my son was dead and is alive. And they got the Reeboks out, they got the ring out, they got the robe out, they got the roast out. They had a party, and what took place? The other son got pooch mouth over it all. So once that transpires, that gift of forgiveness, now you get all the blessings, all the gifts of salvation are then bestowed upon that believer. This is why believers should be more grateful for all the things granted to them that Paul speaks of earlier in his letter to the church at Ephesus. So this morning, I just want to look at one. I know what time it is. Do you know what time it is? A little catchy worldly phrase. So this morning, I wanted to move to the next foundational aspect regarding this study, regarding the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the perimeters. We've looked at the passages. We've looked at the people. Now let's look at the perimeters. Let's look at these perimeters regarding it. As I stated earlier, Scripture teaches us throughout the New Testament the work of the Holy Spirit. But for our study's sake, I just want to utilize the specific passages where Paul speaks specifically of. We're not teaching on the whole work of the Holy Spirit. I just want to focus in on this one aspect that all of us need, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. Those nine fruit that need to be evident. And when I came to church today, you ought to see those nine fruit. Well, you're not very loving right now. You seem a little angry. Could we maybe use the word passionate? And it is love, because I'm taking the Word of God and I've girded myself and I'm washing feet. And so, Paul speaks specifically of and uses the term fruit of the Spirit, and that's what I want to look at. And let me say this on the outset, it's not fruits, plural. Just like when we sing the song of streets of gold. It's not streets of gold. It's semantics. It's a street of gold. It's a street of gold. Even the one that made Wizard of Oz understood that when he was trying to deceive people. That's a whole never message that I just got everybody's knickers in a wad over. Amen. It's fruit of the Spirit. You get the whole package. You don't sit there and go, you know, I don't like kumquats. I'm not real good on kumquats. You know, I'm not a big thing on, I don't like those. What are those things you used to eat overseas, Tina, with the seeds in them? Pomegranate. I'm not a big pomegranate friend. Now, that's not how it happens. You get the whole package. Well, I'm not very gentle. I love this. Can I? Anybody ever done this? Anybody ever guilty of this? Well, that's just not who I am. That's not just who I am. I get it. I'm supposed to be a little more gentle with people. I get it. That's not who I am. I know, Michael. That's why God says this when you do that. I know that's why I gave you the Holy Spirit. Because you can't be gentle. I can. And if you'll yield, it's the puppet. I mean, really, the string's attached, and we've cut the strings. I use the word parameters for my study because I reckon I could have used or said the word context of the passages that Paul is writing to these churches, but I rather, for how I study Scripture and relay information, alliteration, Brother Jacob, is how I think. For me, I use the words parameters. Let me explain that a bit. I've said the work, or the word ministry, and the teaching of the Holy Spirit is all throughout the New Testament, but Paul, writing to two New Testament local churches, expounds upon and expresses specifically. Now watch this now. He expounds upon and expresses specifically the fruit of the Spirit. There's all kinds of teachings about the Holy Spirit, but there's two, Galatians church, Ephesians church, the fruit of the Spirit, which to understand it better, it is contained within what I call perimeters. There's a perimeter. The first I will confine to Galatians 4, verses 31 to chapter 6 and verse 1. Now I want to read those, maybe not this morning. But let me just say this. This is a different message. This is teaching. And we need teaching. And in that teaching, I'm preaching. Teaching transforms the mind. Preaching transforms me. So we'll come back to Galatians 4, 31 to chapter 6 and verse 1. Yes, it is within the context of the whole letter, but Paul directly deals with this teaching. Let me say this, clarify some difficulties they were experiencing. They were still under the law. They couldn't figure this thing out. They didn't understand the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. They were obeying laws. What do you mean I don't have to obey these laws anymore? I've got the Spirit of God guiding me. And as I stated before, it was to aid and equip them for the work they have to do in that town. And I will add this, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is to aid you as well. You can't be gentle. You can't be meek. You know what spoke volumes to me about Brother Rose? That was not the Brother Rose that went to the field. That was the Brother Rose after saying this, that I might know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Because drop Mr. America in the middle of Mr. Africa, and guess what's going to take place? Mr. America. Africa doesn't need America. Africa needs God. So you've got to transform him. And what he did in his message the other day was teaching but preaching with meekness so that we could receive with meekness the engrafted word that would be able to what? Save our souls. And we see, can Matthew Rose go there and be Mr. America? No. But Matthew Rose can go there and be full of the Spirit of God and demonstrate in his tree those fruit, and then they come to God, not Matthew Rose. The next parameter is found in Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 10, and we will read those. As we look at each of these passages, we then can begin to see what I call perimeters being laid out for the believer to better understand this truth. As I looked at this, or these, it is evident in Galatia that it pertained to our spiritual standing. So Paul wrote about the fruit of the Spirit to Galatia because it dealt with our spiritual standing, law versus grace. Galatians 5 and verse 4 says this, Christ has become of no effect unto you. He's telling this church, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Can you imagine somebody standing up and saying that? No, we worship God. This is what we believe. He said, no, Christ has become of no effect unto you. You know why? He explains it. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Well, I cut my hair this certain way. That's what I do. I don't cuss. I don't chew, I don't dip, I don't spit, I don't walk around with those who do. Look at me. You've kept a law. Where's Christ? Can I say this? I know lost people. Lost people. I've experienced it. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody's feelings. I've experienced it in recent days with my mother-in-law moving into a nursing home. Lost people helped us. Lost people rallied the troops. Lost people called me. Lost people shared their emotions and feelings with us. A lost man looked me in the eyes the other day and said, that's helped me, and said, I can't imagine what you're going through. Lost people can keep the law. Doesn't make you any more godly. Grace, God working in you. It is he that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now you rewind the tape 40 years, we were more of a better society. Why? Because we had that spirit amongst us. There was in more numbers now. Now it's very, very far in between. And I looked several of those lost men in the face, and this is what I said to them. You do not know what this means to me, my family. If you ever need anything, and I don't care what it is, please let me know. You have a friend for life in what you did for me today. You know what I was doing? They outshined me. I had to do something, didn't I? I don't want to be one up by a lost person. Why? Because Christ is king. Not morality. Not law. So Galatia, Paul wrote to them, dealing with their spiritual standing, law versus grace. Christ has become of no effect unto you, he said to that church. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. You give me a modern day application of this. Come into a church, Lady comes into the church, I'll use that. We've seen that many times. I was in a church one time when a lady came into a church, and the world all over. I mean, you didn't have to look very far. She looked like the world, smelled like the world, dressed like the world, and everything. Sat down to a family in the church. Had been there for years. I sat there and witnessed this, and the one looked over the other. Let's move. And I kid you not, my hand before God, they got up during that service and moved to another location. That's not grace. That's law. Grace what? Embraces. Because we've been given grace. Can I say those that are the biggest recipients of grace should be the biggest demonstrators of grace? Do you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he gave this little parable or this little illustration? This happened, and this person was forgiven this, and this person was forgiven this. And he used, I think, a financial debt. And then he said, can I ask you a question? Who would love, Mike Levitt translation, who's the one that would love the one that forgave that debt more? Peter. Obviously, Lord, the one that was forgiven much. There's some of us, we were raised in a good home. We don't know the depravity of sin sometimes and how far it can take us. And then all of a sudden we become a recipient of God's grace and we don't know how to administer it to other people. Can I just say this? All of us are capable of the most heinous things separate from God. So he wrote to the church of Galatia, it was in regards to their spiritual standing, law versus grace. In Ephesus, it is regarding our social standing, carnality versus Christ-likeness. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth to this church at Ephesus. Now don't look it up, but they worshiped the goddess Diana, you know, Wonder Woman. Oh, you say you're stretching it, am I? They just changed her up a little bit. Preacher, you're really, yeah, I'm worried about you. You seem like you're getting off the rails, really? Well, why, do you don't think these Marvel characters and these DC comic books and these Pokemons and K-pops and everything else, you don't think all they're doing is dressing up and the princess, what's our fish princess name? Little Mermaid with her father that was Dagon, half man, half fish. I think some of us are crippled too high for a crutch. And they just remanufacture that and paint it up a little different, huh? The who's the blue people? Smurfs. It's a village of how, what? A village of all men. There's one girl in there. Lady and the Tramp. So we teach our young girls to what? Don't keep yourself for the knight in shining armor. Just give yourself to this tramp. The goddess Diana, church at Ephesus. They're worshiping that. They need to change not the law versus grace. They need to chase what? Carnality versus Christ-likeness. Now I've got to be in the midst of this town. Why do you think he wrote these letters to these local churches? To equip them with the problems they had there. What's the problem in the Falls that God wants to equip us with? What's the problem in Stowe that God wants to equip us with? What's the problem in whatever inner city? Do you know churches, good, solid churches, are fleeing from inner city ministries anymore? You know why? Because they don't want to be that light in that city. Timothy writes to Paul, and he says, man, I can't take this anymore. I'm young, I'm not married, I'm biracial. They won't listen to nothing I got to say. And Paul, I'm leaving. He said, no, Timothy, abide in Ephesus. You got to stay there because you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? Be what? An ensample. You got to show them that in spite of all these difficulties you have, God has implanted the Holy Spirit of God in you. And you are to be a witness in that city, because if you can't, then Ephesus has no hope. Mike? Abide in Chagrin Falls as an SRO. Because how are those children that are being taught the most corrupt things going to find God. Except you what? Have a tree that sits in the middle of wherever. And a young person that doesn't know love can come up to your tree and take the fruit of love. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you're allowed to do this. I do it as a pastor. You ever just walk up behind somebody and just come up when one person can pick, some SROs can pick a person up and slam them on the ground, I'm sure. Or another SRO can come up and be gentle, meek. Come up between two people arguing and have peace instead of what? Yeah, because some, that's all they know. Some, every piece of authority is nothing but brutality. Now they see authority and dwelt with the Spirit of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Not only will they see God, but the people that are being mediated will see God. Ephesus is regarding our social standing. I didn't get anywhere today. Carnality versus Christlikeness. This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said to this church, but ye have not so learned Christ. And can I say this morning, neither have any of us. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, he said that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, and you keep going on further, and it says, and put off these things. That's what we're supposed to do. Just like you got dressed this morning is how you're supposed to put off. And mom, if dad, if they're listening to the wrong music, get it out. But don't get it out and not replace it with something. For everything you take out of the Christian life that's not, you put into the Christian life that is. You keep going down and it says, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart is unto the Lord. This is what the Spirit, this is what the Christian should do. You are your greatest counselor. And what you counsel will be what you get from the Word of God. And you will either speak life into your life or you will speak death into your life. Let me wrap this up. Now for them it was a very new concept, and sadly for many believers today it is as well a new concept. Regardless of how many passages or messages and teachings from pulpits take place, for those churches I dare say they could claim an excuse, those then, for the believer today there is no excuse, it's absolute rebellion. And let me add this here, while I'm here, it isn't the responsibility for someone else to spoon feed you in your walk with God. If you want a closer relationship, if you truly want the fullness of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life for others to see God in you, then you can seek Him and learn of Him for yourself, and you should. Where would we all be today if not for Paul's journey to seek God and leave us scripture of what he found? And so should that happen for you, for others. So for this morning, getting further to looking at the fruit of the Spirit, well, I want to look at the perimeters. And we've set them up. That's the introduction. We'll pick it up next week. Now listen, a lot of truth has been said this morning. A lot of truth. Most of it I didn't write down. And I'm speaking to me more than anybody else. But I'm trying to help the McKaylees and the Miley's and the Siennas and the Peytons and the Noahs and all the other people that, watch this, once you learn that concept, it will help you. I would to God today that I had godly parents. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's a war that takes place with me. You rub me wrong and the first thing naturally that comes out is what? All the opposites of the fruit. You know why? Because for 27 years, Noah, that's how I survived. That's how I made it. I'm not going to be anybody's puppet. I'm not going to be pushed around. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to help myself. I'm going to make my way. Because what they tell us? Only the strong survive. And then I go into a military compound. I go into all these other places and I learn this is how you make it. And then all of a sudden I get saved and I say, wow, you don't make it that way. It's the dichotomy. To be great, you got to humble yourself. To get, you got to give. Jesus said, if any man followeth after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's an oxymoron. What do you mean I got to deny myself? Because yourself didn't get you very far. I can get you further. Your journey ends at death. You follow me and I can take you past that to eternal life. And so it's much needed. And there's been much truth said today. Now here's the trick or the invitation. What are you going to do with it? Am I going to go home and my life's going to be a train wreck because my wife doesn't walk in the Spirit? Am I going to go home and I'm in a bad situation as a child and I'm just not going to be able to make it because I just want out of here. As soon as I get 18, I want out of here. My parents were horrible people. They're horrible people because they're lost. That's why they're horrible. That's why I said before, the school system doesn't need our kids. The school system needs Christian teachers to be a light. Then we can help them. Well, I'm not sending my kids out as sheep among wolves. That's not the command. I'm to go out as an adult. And we will walk out of here and we'll go to restaurants where we don't tip. And we'll go to places of eat and of service where we'll bark at them. And that person, we don't know what they're going through. They have an excuse. They're lost. We don't. I mean, does anybody work on vehicles good anymore? So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk in there, I'm going to pound my fist on a desk, turn tables over and demand, I paid for a service, I deserve it. You deserve nothing, Michael, but hell. Or I can walk in there and God can use that situation with my vehicle to bring somebody else to Christ. You say, that's impossible. How about that centurion? How many crucifixions did that man watch? How many crucifixions? And in this crucifixion, he looked and he saw how God reacted to the brutalization and the humility that was taken upon him. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what to do. Son, your mother. Mother, your son. God. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. And he looks at him, he says, truly, this is the Son of God. And can society say that of you and I? Father, we'd ask you to help us. God, I feel like I preached to an empty room this morning and I was just looking in a mirror. You have given us so much to do the work of the ministry in this world we live in. Lord, it's been a while since I've seen somebody come to Christ personally because of my personal walk. Relationships that I don't see transformed. Tensions, difficulties. All I can say, Lord, it's got to be my not yielding to the Spirit of God. So help me in this study, Lord. Please, I beg of you, surrender to you that you might teach me and that those fruit may be found on my tree for somebody else to taste from and not for me to enjoy myself. And Lord, I pray that that be the prayer of every person in this room this morning. Our world is spinning upside down and I don't see enough of us making a difference. If 11 people, if the 120 in an upper room can absolutely transform a wicked city in Rome until they had to cave into it and try and conform to it, and we have what we have today as a result of it, then what is keeping us from changing our churches, our homes, and our cities except rebellion? So help us today, this morning, to yield to you, Lord. May you bring our hearts and minds and souls and our desires to the altar. And may you begin a transformation in our lives, I plea. Lord, if there's somebody in here who doesn't know you, I pray something was said today that they'd come and ask for forgiveness and come and get all the benefits of a child of God, I plea. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.